You're listening to episode 10 of the Rebel Buddhist podcast, where we talk about how to make all the crazy decisions we're being asked to make these days and how not to let it drive you batshit crazy. Welcome to the Rebel Buddhist podcast, where we explore how to use the science of psychology, Eastern spiritual practices like mindfulness and compassion, and the game-changing work of self-coaching so you can free your mind and free your life. I'm your host, Anna Verzoni. Hey, hey, my friends. Woo, the sun is out in Alaska and I am loving it. But the past week has been sort of epic as well, because I've been playing catch up after being on the road for about 17 days, exploring my gorgeous state of Alaska. But you know, when life seems to come at you from all angles, like nonstop, and all you want to do is hole up somewhere, quiet, close your eyes, take a deep breath, make it all stop just for a moment. Well, I've been feeling that way a lot lately, and it feels like I've had to make about 1,000 decisions a day. And that may seem like hyperbole, but I may not be that off. I was reading that some sources suggest the average person makes 35,000, quote unquote, remotely conscious choices per day. And assuming that most of us spend about 7 hours a day sleeping, hopefully more, but ideally about seven, and likely choice-free during that time, depending on the type of dreamer you are, that makes about 2,000 decisions per hour, or one decision every 2 seconds. And that may sound like a crazy number, but according to researchers at Cornell University, we make 226.7 decisions every day just related to food alone, which I'll just say as an aside is one of the reasons I love cleanses, because it simplifies your options when it comes to eating. Anyway, as your level of responsibility increases in life, so does the range of choices you're faced with, right? So welcome to adulthood, silly humans, here we are. And life is about making choices, right? A big part of it, obviously, with the thousands of choices we're making, has to do with how we navigate this. And our brains can be really good at this, especially when we're clear about who we are and what we want. But it takes learning some skills. So today I'm going to talk about the different types of choices we can make and how to make decisions, even hard ones. So it can be easy for us to get into analysis paralysis, like wasting so much time, energy, and maybe a few bottles of wine, ruminating about which decision is best for us. Like, would it be totally stupid to quit my job in this economy? Should I leave my relationship? Is that really worth the money? I want to say no, but what if they're mad when I do? And it makes sense. After all, life is short and we don't want to fuck it up if we can avoid it, right? So you might be wondering, but how do I decide? How do I get out of this crazy confusion and finally make a decision? And this has become so apparent to me this past year as I attempt to really intentionally design my life in a bit of a different way for the next few years. And then you add to that all the decisions we all need to make around COVID-related things, like what the hell am I going to do in the fall if they don't have school? How do I make financial decisions, trying to keep in mind the economy and how it might shift? Getting together with friends or not? Business projections. Should I plan on taking a vacation next year at that dream vacation in Greece I've been wanting to do, or put everything on hold? I felt an overwhelming sense of decision fatigue. The kind I feel walking into a supermarket and trying to buy a freaking tube of toothpaste. And then I see shelves upon shelves of various forms of like spearmint versus peppermint. Like, what the hell? I didn't even know there was a difference. And would I rather have whitening power or fluoride? But like on a much larger scale, right? One thing I loved about traveling to places that didn't have these huge grocery stores everywhere, like Kathmandu, is I would go to this like wooden kiosk on the corner and I'd ask for toothpaste and they'd slap a tube on the counter. so pleased that they had what I wanted. The one tube in the one size in the one flavor with some sparse, like half-assed ingredient list on it, right? And yes, I do, they'd say. And I'd be so grateful that they had some and that it didn't take me 30 minutes to make a decision about which one. Obviously, not many of life's choices are as lightweight as that. But we make thousands of these choices every day, all day, without being conscious of many of them. Like, I love how the article I read said, like, remotely conscious, right? So this tendency to go into autopilot and not realize we're even making choices in each moment can bite us in the butt. What you choose and how you make choices or don't make them is central to your inner confidence, your ZG, right? Your sense of authenticity and alignment with your integrity. Now, choices come in two flavors. One is active, when you make something happen and live with the consequences, and two, passive, when you choose not to choose, like the Rush song, right? And continue to live with the status quo because the stakes appear too high for any changes that making a choice might bring. So this can be a comfy place, but it gets boring. And active choices can be painful, right? We have feelings of fear and vulnerability that often come along with the territory of making these choices. And when you acknowledge you have a choice in the matter, you're more exposed. And just because we know what's best for us doesn't make it any easier. And this active choosing is risky too. The most difficult choices don't have any absolute right or wrong. There is no perfect solution. It takes great ZG. So for those of you that don't know that term I use a lot yet, ZG is a Tibetan word that means radiant inner confidence. And I like to say courage too, to face these hard decisions. And on the other hand, being passive and putting off decisions or not taking the time to clarify what it is you want or believe in, which in general leads to crappy choices, can have serious backlashes like stress, depression, a feeling of discouragement or lack of feeling authentic, and even physical illness. That's why I spent the last few episodes on helping you get clear about your values and what you want. Procrastination and ignorance pretty much don't have any favorable results in the long run, right? But that's kind of obvious. So that's, you know, I love the Yoda quote, do or do not, there is no try, right? Owning that we have a choice in our thoughts about a given situation and how we react to it, our actions or lack of actions, can be a bit of a downer if we're not happy with how our life is right now. But once you accept that you have a choice and that your choices also create your experience and your reality, even if you don't like what you created so far, you also now know that you get to create your new reality the way you want it to be. And now you can do so more mindfully, deliberately, and skillfully, which totally rocks, right? Like, this is why mindfulness can have such a big impact on our ability to make better decisions. When we are aware that in every moment we have a choice, about perceiving something that happened, right? And we have a thought about it, and then we can say, ah, I can choose a different thought to have about this, a different interpretation of this, which helps me feel differently, which then helps me take different actions and creates different results in how I contribute to the world. So not every choice you make, though, will have a profound effect on the whole of your life, but the ongoing and continuous act of making choices mindfully will. Making choices you believe in, choosing intentionally and with keeping your deepest values in mind, and taking responsibility for your choices, these are some of the markers on the road of living an aligned life. So what choices do you know you'll have to make today? How can you enter into them with more awareness of what values you're saying yes to and what values you're saying no to? Set the intention to be more aware of the opportunities for choice in your day today and make them in alignment with what the real, authentic you desires. Now, like I said earlier, there's been a lot of shizzle happening in my world, and the consistent factor seems to be that I'm being asked to make lots of decisions all day long. And we're not talking about what to have for dinner, right? I've been having to make some pretty big, life-changing decisions lately, and it's been crazy overwhelming. And if you're not in it now, I'm sure you've been here before. It feels like everything is happening all at once. Everyone seems to want to know right now, and you feel this immense pressure to give the right answer. It feels like there's not enough time to tap into your intuition and core desires and all that personal growth stuff that you know you're supposed to do. You feel like you don't have all the information you need to make the right decision, yet a lot rides on the decision you're about to make. And on top of it all, life shizzle keeps happening, right? Like pandemics and protests and people saying and doing stupid shit that you need to speak out about, phone calls coming in nonstop. Why doesn't everyone love texting like I do? Plumbing getting backed up, a family member getting seriously ill, right? It is all still happening, and no one and nothing is pausing for you to create a nice and calm space in which to make your decisions. So here comes life again, right? In March, I remember having to decide if I should take my daughter, who's six, to the Black Lives Matter protest in Anchorage. And it was important to me. I wanted her to learn how to be an activist and why people were so angry and why the world needs to change. I wanted her to see people coming together for a cause. I wanted her to start asking important questions. And some people told me she was too young to learn about this aspect of humanity at 6 years old. Well, spoiler alert, I've been talking to her about this aspect of humanity, right? About racism since a young age. Because as soon as she could talk, one of the first things she'd point out was how our skin was brown. I'm half Filipino and her dad's half Vietnamese, and others were white. And she's traveled the world. She's been to countries in Africa and Asia. She grew up knowing people all over the world are different colors and do just fine without white people, and that the whole world did not, in fact, revolve around white people. And she asked me questions about it in her own way. I also felt it wasn't fair that I should get to protect my child from harsh realities when another mother has to beg her Black child not to play with a toy gun outside for fear of his getting shot. Right? Or have the talk with them at a very young age. I wanted her to know clearly that we are anti-racist. And I wanted her to be safe too. And here we were in a pandemic and considering a potentially violent protest. Well, we went. We had a plan. We'd wear masks. They were required at the protest. We'd stand where it would be easy to get out if needed, and if there was any sign of increasing aggression, we'd go. And it was really powerful to be there. She heard slam poetry and people singing and words of activism from allies as well. She saw people energized and coming together. And since the protest, my daughter's asking incredible questions. She's seeing that this is not okay, right? It's not okay to be silent. She's seeing that when there's injustice, you do something about it and talk about it and make people uncomfortable. So it was a tough decision, and one I'm glad I made. What about other hard decisions in life? Like if we should move our aging parents into our house or quit our job in this shitty economy, even though it's leading to insomnia and high blood pressure? What about unplanned pregnancies? What about leaving the relationship that's so-so but not horrible? I remember wondering if we should move my mom up here to live with us where she had no friends or community, but we would be able to care for her and watch her diet like a hawk, right? Or just trust that she would do what it takes to preserve her like barely there kidney function as she entered into stage 4 kidney failure. Well, we talked to her, we decided to leave it up to her, and she did eventually die without us being by her side, and that was really hard for me. but I had to be at peace with that decision. And I also remember the doctors asking me after her first heart attack if we should risk a high-risk surgery that had a higher chance of her dying on the table or a less risky procedure that could still lead to her death, but if successful, it would only give her 3 to 5 more years. Well, we went with the latter, and she did die 3 years later. I had to make all those decisions in such a short amount of time, under a lot of pressure, with the defecation hitting the oscillation all over the place, right? And at very inconvenient times. So how did I do it? How do we make those decisions? How can we use tools, and what tools can we use to make these tough decisions? Well, it seems like every coach out there tells you to listen to your intuition. But what do you do when you haven't learned that skill yet, right? I know it's taken me years to figure that out, and it can still escape me, especially when overwhelmed. So I wanted to give you some tools that helped me the most. And I'm giving you a lot of them since they might not all resonate with you. So have a listen to the whole list. And they aren't just about tapping into your intuition, okay? So the first thing is, get rid of history bias. So step back for a minute and ask yourself, would you choose it now if there was no history bias? And what I mean by that is we tend to put a lot of weight on our shoulders because we keep thinking about all the things that happened in the past. And it can totally mess up your brain, right? So if you were starting brand new, would you even choose whatever it is that's going on right now? So, like if you're deciding whether you should leave a job or not, redecide whether you would take it or not. Would you marry this person again? Would you buy this house again? Would you spend this money? Whatever it is, consider all your options and ask yourself, would you choose it now without the story, the history bias? And a lot of us say, but I've been doing it for a long time. But really, that's probably not the best reason you want for choosing something. And remember, when you make a decision, you want to make sure you like your reasons for doing it. Ask yourself, what if failure is no big deal? Nelson Mandela said, "I never lose, I either win or learn." A lot of times we hear coaches ask, what would you do if you could not fail? But this new perspective is like next level shit, right? Because if failing didn't matter, if you knew you might fail at it, would you still do it? And this is important to ask because remember, failure is just the way you think about it. If you're only winning or learning, then there really is no failure. Nothing is actually a failure until you ascribe a thought about failure to it. So when you take out the thought that failure ruins everything and that you could fail, which one do you do? It's important to also remember that no matter how much you think about a situation, not every choice will be the right one. No matter how much you analyze it, you will make mistakes. But remember this, when you make a wrong decision, it doesn't make you wrong. And just because you made a mistake doesn't mean that mistake wasn't supposed to be exactly what should have happened for that moment in time. That's because one of the ways we learn is through the mistakes we make. And on the flip side, one way we build confidence, one way we build Ziji is to take risks, to commit to a decision and succeed, even if it's after a few or a ton of failures. All right, number three is imagine that both decisions could be awesome. Like, what if you could succeed at both? Which one would you choose? Because some of us don't choose one option over the other because we've played it out and we already anticipated failure. We've already anticipated that we won't know how to do something or we've given in to our own doubt, right? We have failed ahead of time. So for example, if you're thinking about leaving a relationship, you can think, if I stay married, the marriage turns out awesome because I make it awesome. And if I leave, my life is awesome because I make it awesome. So knowing that either way I could have an amazing life, which one do I choose? Whoa, right? This clears up decision-making pretty quickly. And it's true, you can feel awesome either way. But that's another episode. All right, the next thing I want you to consider is one of my favorites. I want to ask you to question if you can say yes to both things. I love having it all. And it's super common to think either this or that when we're considering our options, right? We think one automatically excludes the other. And this is a really great time to get a coach, actually, if you're ever feeling like it's either this or that, because that is rarely the truth. And we often think that if we say yes to one thing, we're definitively saying no to the other. And sometimes we don't want to say no to the other, so we don't make a decision. But try on, what if you could say yes to both things? Right? Like, should I leave my job to become a life coach? Well, what if you could keep your job and become a life coach on the side as a side hustle to start with, right? What if you could have both? Would you choose both instead of saying yes to one or no to the other? I am really good at this because I've learned over many years to be efficient with my time. I get to do so many different things, right? I coach clients all over the world. I catch babies now and then. I got my doctorate degree. I help people in integrative medicine. I volunteer in remote areas. I lead retreats. I teach new healthcare providers how to be good at providing care and being compassionate with their patients. Like, there's so much, right? And not even mentioning all the outdoor stuff I love. Do I do them all at the same time? Of course not, but I get to do them. Many people I know would have just chosen one of those things. And that's okay too. It's just that sometimes you don't have to. I decided I didn't want to say yes to one and no to the other. And it's also not because I don't sleep. I love me some sleep, just in case you're wondering, okay? All right, number five. Ask your future self, the you that is in the future, like 5 years or 10 years into the future, what they think and why. Remember that your future self has already learned the big lessons, and who knows exactly what you need to do to manifest your ideal life. So when I'm making big decisions, I often ask my future self, what should I do and why? Right? It was one of the first tricks that they taught me during my first coach training in 2009. And it sticks because it is really, really good, right? She always seems to know exactly what to do. So when I think of myself 10 years from now at what, 56 years old right now, like, you know, in 10 years, what do I tell myself? It's crazy how much wiser I am. I always have the best answers. All right, next is give yourself a deadline to make the decision. And that's right, you could go on and on ruminating, but at some point you need to stop it. There's Parkinson's law, right? The amount of time that one has to perform a task is the amount of time it will take to complete the task, and that includes decisions. So when the deadline arrives, make the decision and move forward. I mean, really, like, how long are you going to be deciding? So give yourself until like the end of the month or the end of next month or the end of the week, and then you will decide one way or the other to do something. And that might feel scary to you. It did for me, but that means you're doing it right. It's okay to be afraid. Making decisions is what helps us move forward to grow and evolve. And it also helps us take action. And therefore, it increases our confidence and our clarity because we get clarity through action, right? And we juice up our confidence when we take action and learn from it. And it saves us time because we stop wasting time deciding. All right, go over what is the best and worst case scenario for each of your options. I like doing this because the worst case scenario often doesn't feel as bad as I think it is when I actually play it full out. Plus, what we often find out in the end is that the worst case scenario is missing out on the best case scenario, right? So, like, what would it be like if you didn't give it a go? What would it be like if you would have succeeded but didn't even try? Number eight, chew on it. Like, literally, like, pretend to make the decision one way or another. Allow yourself to imagine life with the decision you just made and sit with it. How does it feel? If you were going to swallow it, do you want to spit it out or swallow it? Savor it? How does it feel 2 years from now? What's your day like when you wake up? What are your weekends like? How do you feel falling asleep? And you can do this for like a half a day per decision option, right? So give that a go. Number 9, ask yourself, will I have regrets about this 5 years from now? If it's clear that you'll have big regrets after saying yes or no, I would seriously consider rethinking your options, okay? Number 10, make a list about what values you're saying yes to and what you're saying no to. I alluded to this at the beginning of this episode. But in my protest example above, right, I discovered that if I did not go, I'd be saying yes to my values of protecting my family and staying healthy. Those are pretty important things if you just took them in isolation, right? However, I'd also be saying no to my values of teaching my daughter about social justice in a very active way, like actively taking a role in creating an anti-racist society, being a good ally, being an active part of building a more just society. So when I looked at it that way, it was easier to say yes to going in a way that would also honor safety and health, but not bypassing my other values. So this kind of also relates to earlier about the either or. It doesn't necessarily have to be one or the other, right? 11, drop into a routine or schedule. And this is so important to decreasing decision fatigue. When you eat the same damn breakfast every day, that's one less decision that gives you energy for all the other more important things. When you know what's happening when, you don't have a bunch of background white noise, right, to interfere with your mind's clarity. You can then create this mental calm to make a better decision. And when shit is happening randomly and unexpectedly, it makes it a lot harder to have the calm required to make big decisions. If you're not a big schedule or routine person, then this can be like a little tweak you make until you come to a decision, right? So having a morning or evening routine, this is something I talk about a lot in Freedom School. It also helps the mind chill out and see through the muck. It's like you bookend your days with a morning routine and an evening routine, and it makes whatever happens in the middle much more manageable. Much more capacity is available to make those decisions. Okay, I'm about to get woo on your asses with number 12 here, so hang in there with me, okay? I want you to set the intention to receive clarity in your dreams. You can also ask for a sign during the day. I do this a lot. I say like, hey, universe, God, source, Gaia, whatever you use, right? Could you please send me a sign about what I should do? I've had so many clear signs like drop out of the sky after asking for this. Like the time I asked for clarity about whether I should break up with someone or not, then minutes later, got a Facebook message from a complete stranger that my boyfriend was cheating on me. Clear sign, right? Suffice it to say, I got super clear in about a nanosecond. What a douche, right? So it was a relief, actually. I've since learned to make decisions much sooner. So I'll have to write a different post about that one. Anyway, or when I was contemplating a divorce and a plane, literally, I'm not kidding you, this happened. A plane flew over me trailing a banner that said, starter wife. Whoa. All right. Number 13, write a pros and cons list. And I'm not shitting you with this one either. It can work. It's not like I base decisions on anything related to how long the like pro list is versus the cons list. It's more the process that really helps me get clear as I think it through. So the yes, no practice that I described above, right? It tends to be a little bit more helpful to me than this one, but it's a good place to start. 14, talk to a friend that lets you babble. I have found more than a few times that simply talking about my process with a good friend will bring me clarity as I babble, even though I may not be making sense in the moment. So journaling can also substitute if it's like 4 a.m. and you don't think your friend would appreciate you calling at that time. And then once you're done babbling, just offer to buy a glass of Prosecco or green juice or something, right? Number 15, try to get as much sleep as possible and then sleep on it once you think you know your answer. Your mind is going to be so much more sharp and discerning. It's amazing the difference that sleep makes. Your brain's actually working on organizing all your thoughts while you sleep, so it can really help. And that's partly why I also say, like, ask for clarity in your dreams or a sign in your dreams. All right, I saved the best for last. One that works for me consistently is asking, what moves me towards who I want to be? So just be really clear and answer the question, what moves you towards who you want to be? It's that simple. It works. You can also ask, what moves me towards my highest self, the way I truly want to show up in the world that I want to create? And sometimes another helpful way to ask this, instead of asking who you want to be, you can ask yourself, how do I want to feel? Pick a word like free or calm or relaxed or energized or thriving, whatever it is. What are the top three feelings you want to have in life, right? Like, you know, I love me some Danielle Laporte about the core desired feelings, right? What are the top three feelings you want to have in life, at least for right now? Pick the thing that helps you feel that way. And since I'm a freedom junkie, I do that a lot when I ask, what will help me feel more free? Because when I'm not asking what seems more free, what looks more free, but rather what will help me feel more free, I tend to arrive at a much better decision that's in alignment with my values. So deep down, you know what will move you towards who you want to be and the life and world you're meant to create. And that, my friend, is what really matters. If you like what you heard and want to learn more about how to free your mind and free your life, check out rebelbuddhist.com and grab my free Rebel Buddhist training kit, where you'll receive a video training on cultivating resilience, a copy of the gorgeous Rebel Buddhist Manifesto, and more. That's rebelbuddhist.com.